Last week we looked at Jacob, and believe me, there are many other encounters that Jacob had with God. But today we'll be looking at Jacob's son, Joseph. Jacob gets a new name. So Joseph's dad, Jacob, he gets a new name. God changed it from Jacob to Israel. Jacob's new name is what identifies that people of promise, Israel. Israel had 12 sons, and they became a nation. One of those sons is Joseph, who was born of Jacob's favored wife, Rachel. So here we are. If you were at last week's message, you're going to hear kind of the same thing going on with playing of favorites. And you will notice that the playing of favorites is still very much a part of Israel's family as it was his father's. Playing favorites caused a lot of problems for Isaac and Rebekah, and it continues in Jacob's or Israel's family. In Israel, he had four wives. And the reason for having this many wives is a major drama, too. So last week, we talked a little bit about Isaac and Rebekah and their family. It was kind of like something that you'd find on a soap during the day on TV. Major drama. That drama continues on in Israel's family. I'll tell you, when you read the Bible and read about some of these stories, you almost want to shake your head. But I love that about the Bible. The Bible does not just give you, you know, the good stories, the stories that only show great faith. The Bible shows us the good with the bad so that we know that we can relate. Because nobody's perfect. We see the reality of humanity when we read the Bible. And at the same time, we see God's patience and love shine even more because we as humans struggle. But getting back to Joseph, he was the favored son of Israel. And that favoritism brought an imbalance within the sons of Israel. All of the sons knew who was favored, and that was Joseph. And they were jealous, and they were angered by it. No matter what the other sons did, they couldn't seem to get the love and attention from their father the same as Joseph could. No matter how hard they tried, no matter the accomplishments they made, Joseph was loved more by their father. And the other sons, they despised Joseph because of this favoritism. As parents, just looking at the family of Isaac and Jacob ought to shake us up a little bit if we're in the habit of playing favorites with our children. We are to love our children deeply, not just a favored one. Otherwise, it's not going to end well. And for some of you here today may have been not one of the favored ones if you were in a family, and you may have to work towards forgiveness of a parent because of that. But we're going to move on here. The title of my message is, I Had a Dream. This title might bring you thoughts of a song from the Disney movie Tangled. I had a dream, I had a dream. I knew someone was going to ask that. Or if you might think of a very famous speech given by Martin Luther King Jr. I had a dream. Well, just like being St. Patrick's Day, I'm not talking about any of those. I'm looking at Joseph, and we're looking at an encounter that he had with God that was given in a dream. Let's turn into Genesis chapter 37, starting with verse 1. And I'll be reading a good portion of Scripture through verse 11, and we'll be looking at Joseph's dream. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made a richly ornamented robe with him for him. With his brother. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field, when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." His brother said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream, and this time the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Dreams are often considered important during this era and this time. Many believe dreams came from the Lord, and though many times an interpreter was needed for dreams, we see here that some dreams were reasonably easy to understand, especially for these two, for Joseph. But what we see here happening in these verses, we see a favored child. We'll just say a spoiled kid who is already despised because of the symbolic robe and coat that his brothers were reminded continually that their father loved Joseph more. He had a dream. Two dreams that have the same message, and without filtering, Joseph doesn't really think about what his brothers or his parents are going to think about this dream. He just tells everyone of how his family will honor him and bow down to him as if he's a ruler over them. I don't think we have to really be too smart to figure out how his brothers are going to react to this when they already despised him because of the favoritism. That robe that reminded them daily that Joseph was loved more. Now he has this dream. They were infuriated even more. They hated Joseph even more. And now we know that these dreams do come from God, because we can see his whole story. We have all of Scripture. We see the beginning and the end. So we know that these dreams are from God. And though these dreams are accurate, they in no way depict the journey in which they become fulfilled. And let me tell you, the journey is not at all what we would expect if we've never read this story before. Joseph has these dreams, and he's obviously sharing them because he's excited. He believes that they are from God. Joseph's father, I think, was kind of at first taken back, and then he just, we're told he kept the matter in mind. I'm sure Israel thought, well, if it is from God, it's gonna happen. If it's not from God, then it won't, but time will tell. But Joseph's excited about this. But if you put yourself in Joseph's shoes, how exciting. How exciting it would be to think that everyone's going to bow around to you. Joseph may have been 17 years old, a little older, but many of us, when we were little kids, we probably dreamed about things too. Dreamed about being a superhero or a king, not having to listen to your parents if you're a king. Think about it. Come on, kids, I can see you smiling. Yeah, I was a dreamer too. I'm sure I thought about many of these things, these fairy tale what ifs. What if I was a king? I could do anything I want. Life would be easy. No one would be telling me what I had to do. I could go to bed late. I didn't have to brush my teeth because I'm king. Such a dream would have brought Joseph a sense of excitement and pride. Yet the reality is the journey from the point that Joseph gets this dream, these dreams, to where it's actually fulfilled, there's a big gap in there. That gap is not a pleasant gap. That's not the easy street. That's not what Joseph expected, and we're going to talk about that. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but that may be the same for us. We all have dreams, and there are godly dreams that we have. Like when you gave your life to Christ, being in a relationship with Jesus and receiving the promise of eternal life. It's exciting and life-changing. Or maybe you have a dream of sharing your faith without fear, living a godly life, or doing something that you've been called to do that are great and honorable. And they're to come to fulfillment, but we may not see the whole journey or the full picture. It may not turn out the way we envisioned or expected. And don't get me wrong, anything with Christ is beautiful, and the promise of eternal life is exceptional. And I can't wait to be in the presence of our Heavenly Father in heaven. Yet that doesn't mean life won't have its ups and downs. We will have triumphs, but there will also be tragedy. See, being a pastor has tremendous highs, while at the same time, there are lows. While in seminary, I remember dreaming of preaching from the pulpit, preaching powerful messages of the Lord. Though that's a reality for maybe some moments, there are also low points of having terrible messages. Or even lower points when having little words of comfort during times of tragedy for families who lost loved ones. Or the lows of seeing someone who was on fire for Christ at one time turn away and choose to follow the world, and you start to wonder, did I do all that I could? There are lows. For Joseph, the end is triumphant, and he's indeed a ruler, but getting there was a steady flow of hardships. Yet what we see over and over in Joseph's life is faith and perseverance in the moments of tragedy. The story of Joseph highlights a very important point to take away, and that is keeping the faith and being faithful servants. You see, shortly after Joseph tells his family his dreams, remember, he's on a high. He's thinking about those dreams, about his brothers, the mean brothers, are going to bow down to him. He's on a high. But Joseph's brothers, they wanted nothing to do with that. So they plotted to kill him. So when Joseph came out into the field, the brothers plot that they're gonna kill Joseph. And so when Joseph's out in the field, they take him and they throw him into a cistern, a dried up well. And they throw him in there thinking, okay, we'll come back and we'll kill him later. But then they start thinking, where's the profit in that? Why not just sell them, make money, still get rid of them, and they're for the better? So that's what they do. They sell them to a caravan as a slave heading to Egypt. They take Joseph's precious coat and they tear it and dip it in lamb's blood and make it look like that he was shred to pieces by a wild animal, and they show it to their father, and their father is crushed. For Joseph, he went from a high down to a low in very little time. He's stripped of his coat, his favoritism. He's stripped from his family. He's sold as a slave. He's treated like nothing more than a camel or some other piece of property. Genesis 37, 36, we see what happens next to Joseph once he gets to Egypt. The Midianites sold Joseph in Egypt to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard. Joseph is now a slave working for a captain of the guard. Let's read on chapter 39, starting with verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph and he prospered. And he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in his house and in the field. So he left in Joseph's care everything he had. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now, we don't know how Joseph was emotionally, but we know Joseph did his work and he did it to the best of his ability, and the Lord blessed him. Joseph honored God through his work, yet he was in the midst of significant change. All that Joseph was accustomed to had completely changed. His life was turned upside down. But if you think about some of the times that you felt closest to the Lord, is probably in the difficult times, probably in the significant times of change. So Joseph, in this time of change, he clung to the Lord. It's interesting how Joseph's dreams didn't include being sold as a slave. His dream had him still with his family as they were bowing to him, and it seems like Joseph may wonder whether his dream was really from God because he's no longer even with his family. You see, the Lord called me to pastoral ministry, but it took 8 to 9 years before I actually became a pastor. That's a long time. Now, I shared with you my testimony, and you saw all that went into that calling. There were a lot of ups and downs in 8 to 9 years. What has the Lord called you to do? What dream has He given you? Have you remained faithful, even when it looked like it may not happen? Have you given up? Have you turned down a different path? You see, hard times come, but the bigger picture is following the Lord and being faithful in spite of what is going on around us. But let's continue reading about Joseph's story in Genesis chapter 39, starting with verse 6. Now Joseph was well built and handsome, and after a while his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. One day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants were inside. She caught him by the cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. You see, Joseph is faced with another trial, another down. You see, he may have felt the pain of being sold by his brothers, felt the pain of being a slave and not understanding why God would allow this after his wonderful dream. See, Joseph was at a crossroad. He could have continued to serve the Lord as he is, or he could have just said, "You know, if the Lord turns his back on me, then I'm just going to do what I want." And he could have slept with his master's wife. He was at a crossroads. Often in life, we see things happen where people have an idea of what living a Christian life is supposed to be like, or they are given direction where they are to go, but in the process, things seem to spiral out of control or not what is expected. Things like losing a loved one or some other terrible or traumatic event happens. And many of us have seen such things. And we've seen people turn away from the Lord because of those things happening. I cannot give you answers of why things happen. But I do know that turning away from God is not the answer. Turning to Him and continuing to live and serve the Lord is the answer. See, Joseph, he remained faithful to the Lord. Even in his master's house and as a slave, his master's wife probably may have required other servants to do what she was trying to do to him. As a slave, a lot of them don't have the option to say no. But Joseph felt that what the Lord thought was more important than anything else. Joseph flees from that sin. I like how it's written that he ran. You see, that sin was imminent if he did not do something. And he ran. And Joseph flees from it, and even though he made the right choice, even though we know he made the right choice, tragedy again hits Joseph as Potiphar's wife accuses Joseph of trying to force himself on her, and he's thrown into prison. Again, Joseph remains faithful even when it's hard to see God working through it all. Joseph gains respect in prison because he diligently worked and honored the Lord with what he did. Joseph was made responsible for many things in the prison, and the Lord blessed him there. But he's still in prison. You see, I can't really cover the entire story of Joseph. And I ask you this week, read it. Go home and read the story of Joseph. It's worth it. After several years in prison, the Pharaoh had a dream, and no one could interpret Pharaoh's dream. And because Joseph had interpreted a couple of dreams while in prison, Pharaoh summoned Joseph to come and see if he could interpret his dream. And so Joseph goes and interprets the dream correctly. He tells the Pharaoh about his dream that there'll be 7 years of plentiful food in the land. And then after 7 years, there'll be a terrible famine for another 7 years. Pharaoh took Joseph out of prison. And Pharaoh makes Joseph second in charge of all of Egypt. Now, Egypt was kind of the main world power at that time. So just being second in command in Egypt isn't just being second in command of a nation, but of the entire area and the influence that they had. Joseph had a lot of authority. Joseph was to organize the storage of food in the good years and distribute the food during the terrible years. And Joseph's life took a turn for the better, but he simply continued to serve and honor the Lord with his work and what he did. It was after about 22 years, after Joseph was given that dream, those dreams, it finally comes to fulfillment in the years of the famine. Joseph's brothers come looking for food and they don't recognize him. And since he was second only to Pharaoh, everyone pretty much bowed to Joseph because of his authority. You know, if Joseph was holding a grudge, if he was angry for a long time and bitter towards his brothers for what they did, he could blame them for not only being sold as a slave, he could blame his brothers for what happened in Potiphar's house, he could blame his brothers for being thrown into a prison, he could blame his brothers for every little thing that happened. And now that he's second in command of Egypt, he could have had his brothers executed on the spot. But the thing is Joseph kept the faith and kept serving the Lord. Joseph does not get even. He doesn't get even with his brothers, but it's interesting. He does test his brothers. Read that. That's good too. But he tests them for their love and their loyalty for each other and their father. He was curious if his brothers were the same brutal brothers that sold him into slavery, or had they changed? And it's great to see that they did change. Joseph, after a while, he saw that those changes had happened. And let's read some in Genesis 45, starting with verse 3. Joseph said to his brothers, this is where he's finally revealing himself to his brothers. He says, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Wow. I think his brothers have lived with a lot of guilt for a long time. Just to come and find their brother in the position he is in. We see that they were terrified. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will not be plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance." Later, after Israel and all the family comes to Egypt, Joseph tells his brothers this in chapter 50, verse 20. "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." You see, Joseph acknowledged the difficulty that he went through, but the bigger picture was that God used something that was intended for evil. He used that for good. Whatever difficulties you have had, or maybe that you're going through, let us all continue to, number one, remain faithful to the Lord. No matter what difficulty you may be going through, remain faithful to the Lord. And two, pray that out of our hardships that God will do similarly and bring good out of something that was bad. Let us keep our sights on Christ and serve Him in all areas and in all seasons of our life. And when God gives you a dream, don't let the ups and downs keep you from pursuing what He has for you. Just remember, the dream may look a little different from what you expect, but if the dream is from the Lord, it'll happen. And we have to trust that even in the hard times. I know there's been times where I've had to go back to a dream or a calling that I've written out. I've had to go back and read it again and again, because sometimes it's hard to see how something can happen in the difficult times. But God is good, and He is faithful.